Colossians chapter number 2. Starting verse number 10. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Let's pray and we'll get right into the Word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again, Lord, just for another opportunity to open up your Word, Lord, how unworthy we are. Lord, I thank you so much, God. Lord, we can't thank you enough, but I'm so thankful we have a copy of your Word, your holy Word, your only Word, your preserved Word. God, tonight as we open it up and we read, and Lord, as we learn and glean, Lord, from it tonight, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, you'll bind the devil off this place. Lord, be with all these prayer requests tonight, Lord, that we've lifted up to you by faith, knowing, Lord, that you know exactly what their need is, and you knew their need before they even had a need. And Lord, I thank you so much for being just a God that we can trust. Now, Lord, tonight as we go into your Word and we learn about how complete we are in Christ, I pray, God, that each and every believer here tonight will leave out of here on fire for the Lord Jesus, because indeed we are complete even unto the end. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 10, and ye are what, church? Complete in him, Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him up from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. If you've been quickened in here tonight, would you just say amen? Amen. Listen, if you've been quickened, that means you've been made alive. The Bible says, in you being dead in your sins. I hope you understand that without Jesus Christ and before you were saved, you were dead, destined for a devil's hell. That was your destination, and there was only one thing you could do about it, and Jesus Christ took care of that and made a way for you. And if you are saved, that simply means one and only that you chose Jesus Christ, and he quickened you together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. I like this part right here. Nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. A few things I want to show you here before we get into the real message. I want to go down through here. In verse 11, the Bible says right there, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Listen, when Jesus Christ came into your life, he created you a new creature. We've established that, amen. We are created in him. We are created in his likeness and to his image. The Bible says old things are what? Passed away, and behold, all things what? Are become new. Our sins have been put away. But don't ever forget, you still have a sin nature and you still are a sinner. The Bible says, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. But remember, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh. And then it says, buried with him in baptism. All through Scripture we can prove there are many religions out there and many churches out there that believe in a different unbiblical baptism. We believe here in the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, we believe in baptism by immersion. Why? Because it pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is why we believe that. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Don't ever forget, God had the power and exercised that power and raised himself from the dead. No other power, nobody else has ever raised themselves up, but your Savior did. Verse 13, the Bible says, and you being dead in your sins. We've established that already. We had a terrible destination prior to our salvation. Don't ever forget that. Anytime you want to take for granted what you have, remember where you were going before you were saved. The Bible says, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is alive, and I'm thankful that Jesus Christ has made me alive, and that I'm going to live forever in eternity with Jesus Christ. You ought to be thankful for that too, church. And by the way, there's nothing that you did to gain your salvation. Amen? So there's nothing you can do to lose it. The book of John talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God. Height, depth, anything. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then he says, having forgiven you all your trespasses. How many of you are thankful you are forgiven tonight? Folks, I don't know about you, but this thing about forgiveness is overlooked. We'll never preach it enough. I'll preach it here till the day I die. Forgiveness is key. Think about it. What made it possible for us to have our sins blotted out? It was Jesus Christ looking down, and that while we were yet sinners, he chose to die and to forgive us for all of our sins. And for those of you who believe you can lose your salvation every time you sin, listen, you don't believe the gospel because you weren't even a thought except for in the mind of Christ when he died. All your sins were future sins at the death of Jesus Christ. Nobody was alive and had committed sin. None of you anyway. There were people there that had to, after that death and the burial and resurrection, they had to come through the blood just like you have to come through the blood. But remember, all of your sin has already been paid for. There's no need to believe that every time you do something wrong, you lose your salvation and you have to get resaved. You'll not find that in the King James Bible. You can try to take it out of context and you can convince yourself, oh, I can lose my salvation. No, no, you cannot, because it's not yours. It's his. It's his. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Everything that was ever against us was nailed to the cross. Our Bible teaches us, if God be for us, what does it say? Who can be against us? You need to rest on that promise. And then he says right here, and having spoiled principalities and powers. Look at one verse really quick in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. One of our, you could call it a theme verse of this church. We read it all the time. But I want to show you that Jesus Christ has spoiled powers and principalities. You know the verse, Ephesians 6:12, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, if we wrestle against principalities and powers, you read on over there in the book of Colossians, the Bible says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. That is why Jesus Christ died. For 3 days, the devil thought he had victory. No doubt. But listen, when that tomb started coming alive, and that stone started rolling away, the devil knew he was doomed forever. And he's still doomed today. But he's hard at work trying to bring people down to his doom and gloom of an everlasting, eternal lake of fire. Don't ever forget, God has spoiled the principalities and powers. And he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And listen, if Jesus Christ is in us, why is it that we constantly lose the battle to the principalities and the powers of this world? It's because we're not living by faith and living like we are complete in Jesus Christ. So tonight I want to talk about being complete in Christ. Verse number 10, the Bible says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We see in verse 10, we are complete in him. We can be assured that God will help us complete the work that he hath started in us. Go with me to the book of Philippians tonight. Back just one book, the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. I just want to show you on a journey in the Bible this fact of being complete in Christ. And understand that you need none other to be complete. If you have Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, you are complete in Him. The book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing," look at this church, "that He which hath begun a" what? "Good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." Jesus said, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can I say this, church? When God starts a work in us, He has already given us the ability to finish. But not only finish, church, God wants us to finish well. You remember at the end, Paul told Timothy, he said, "Hey, let's finish well." Timothy, he said, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." Listen, how many of us are going to die and be able to look our loved ones in the eyes and say that? And then on the other hand, how many of us are going to die and be able to look at our loved ones and say, "I'm real sorry. I tried to fight a good fight. I tried to finish my course. And I tried to keep the faith. But I didn't take hold to the fact that I was complete in Christ. And everything that God had asked me to do, He had already enabled me to do." See, here's what happens. God says, "Hey, so-and-so, I want you to do this." And we'll get fired up and we'll tell the preacher, we'll tell our friends, our family in the church, "Hey, God wants me to do this. You're never going to believe what I got. God's given me the ability to do." And here in a few weeks, in a few months, in a few years, things will get rough. It'll get discouraging. And the easy thing to do is what, church? Quit. And immediately we think, well, if they're not going to come, if they're not going to do what I want, if this is a waste of my time. Folks, listen. Tell that to the missionary in Alaska who's traveled out to a village called Stevens Village 3 times a year on a snow machine, 300 miles round trip to witness to 3 people, has saw 2 of them saved, but only 3 people live there. Tell that to the missionary that's a waste of time. Who in sub-zero temperatures, negative 60 and negative 70 degrees, gets on their snow machines in their gear and pulls a sled behind him and his boys, pack it in 150 miles just to spread the gospel to 3 people. It's not a waste of time to them. Why? Because in that village, there's 3 never-dying souls that need Jesus Christ. It's not about numbers. Folks, you start looking at numbers, look at your Old Testament. Don't ever start counting numbers. Listen to this. Paul planted, Apollos watered. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. You, by faith, do exactly what God told you to do and understand the fact and the principle that God said His word will not return void. You plant the seed. Listen, the Holy Spirit will do His job. It is up to the individual, ultimately, to accept or reject the salvation that has been offered him. It is not up to you. It's up to you to be faithful in what God has called you to do and understand that God is right there with you every single step of the way. Every single time a kid gets on your nerves in junior church, every single time you go to Sunday school and you're like, "Man, I wish these parents would just spank this child at home so they didn't act like this." Listen, God's there with you. He called you to do it. You just be faithful. Don't stop. Don't be a quitter. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Keep the faith. You just don't know that little guy that's causing you so much problems in Sunday school. Hey, I wish I could bring my Sunday school teacher in here to you and let her introduce herself and tell you how I was for 6 years. You don't know who's in your Sunday school class. I used to just tell them, "Look, I don't have to pay attention to listen." That's what I used to tell them. "I'm actually listening. I'm just not paying attention." You know what I'm saying? But, you know, look, you don't know who you are ministering to. You don't know the life that you are investing in and what God has planned for that young man or that young lady. You just don't know the life and the heart that you are ministering to. God has called you to be faithful. You cannot control them. You can only control you. And when you grasp a hold of the fact that God has started this work and he's going to finish this work when he's ready, you say, when is my work finished? When you breathe your last breath and God calls you home, then you are done. Not until then. Now, I understand there may be things you used to could do physically that you cannot do now. But listen, there's always something and a purpose for you. As long as you're breathing, you have a purpose. Ask God what it is. He'll give it to you. You just be faithful until he says it's time to come home. Just be faithful. We must always be confident that God is always able to finish what he starts. We must never rely upon ourselves and our own strength, for surely we will fall. When we realize just how complete we are in Christ and faith is not wavered, we are left wanting nothing. Look at the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. You ever thought about a life of wanting absolutely nothing? Really and truly, we want a lot of things. But spiritually, we have everything we need. We have the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling within us. James chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, greeting my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's a tough verse, isn't it? It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, most of us, if I were to go around the room, I'd say, sir, do you think you're a good Christian? Most of us would naturally say, yeah, I'm a pretty good Christian. Ma'am, do you think you're a good Christian? Most of us, yeah, I'm pretty good. Well, let's rewind to the last trial that you had in your life. See, your spiritual level don't really come out when things are going your way. Your spiritual level of maturity comes out when things are not going your way. The way you act when things are out of your control. The way you act when things are out of control of this right here. Y'all okay? You want to test your spiritual maturity? Run out of this. Or let a loved one be sick. Or let a child be in the hospital and have no assurance that they're going to get out. See, mountaintop experiences, it's easy to shout, isn't it? Real easy to shout when we're on the mountain. But see, what you forget is you never got to the top of a mountain without going through a valley. And to get to the next mountain that looks real good, there's going to be another valley. There's going to be a downhill slope. Things are going to get pretty good. It's going to feel good. But in that valley, things are going to get flat, wet, muddy. You're going to hike across that valley, and then you got to climb to get back up to the other one. That's where your faith is really put to the test. The next time someone asks you, just how spiritually mature are you? Before you answer, rewind and go back to the last valley and the last hike up the mountain. You'll test your endurance. You'll test your faith. Hey, I'm telling you, I thought I was a pretty tough dude until I hiked a real mountain. I'm being honest with you. I mean, I got out of high school. I wasn't out of shape like I am now. I was in pretty good shape. And I got to Alaska, and I'm like, everyone's telling me about this Mount Marathon. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not running a marathon. I promise you that, but I'll go up the hike. That's no big deal. Didn't think it was. Well, me and my buddy, neither one of us had ever been up this mountain before. We decided one afternoon, you got to understand, it stays daylight in Alaska 24/7 pretty much in the summertime. It's mid-June, about 75 degrees, really hot up there, about 75 degrees, and we decided we're going to take the hike. Well, once we got past the switchbacks and we sat down and cried that our legs were cramping, I mean, the incline's like this right here, we're hoofing it up there and we're complaining. Well, I looked down, I'm like, man, we're still in the trees. You know, from the ground, the tree line don't look like it's that much. I'm like, I can't even see out of the trees yet, brother. I can't see the town yet. We can't be that high. Well, we went up a little bit higher, and I started hearing something behind us. And I'm like, all right, no big deal. I'm not going to look because I've been told probably what it is. One of two things, either a bear or a moose. Okay, well, he said, I think we should check this out because it's getting closer. So he looks back, and there's a brown bear. I'm like, on the downhill trail. The only way out of this place unless you kind of want to go on a little adventure. So I said, okay, we got one choice. We're going up. Well, we went up. Finally made it to the top, and I'm telling you, I looked over that, and I saw something that I never thought I'd be able to see. I saw the beauty from the mountaintop. I mean, I looked out, and things that I could, it was beautiful from down there on the road. And to be honest, I never really cared to see the view again. It was a tough hike. It was tough. But look, I got up there. You know, they call Alaska the land of 10,000 lakes or something like that. You can get up there, and I mean, you can see lakes that didn't even know existed. You're over 3,000 foot in elevation. I'm seeing them just looking, standing on these snow-capped mountains, looking out and just seeing the beauty. Looking over Resurrection Bay, the ocean, seeing whales jump, boats coming in. People look like golf balls. They're so small. But I saw the beauty of God's creation. And I thought to myself, I never would have saw this without the struggle. There were plenty of times going up. It took us about 3.5 hours to get up there. There were plenty of times, Brother Tim, I was like, look, Stephen, this is dumb. Like, my body's hurting, brother. Let's just turn around and go back. We don't have to do this today. He's like, what, are you going to come back tomorrow? Absolutely not. Look, I was fine seeing the halfway point. It looked good. But not nearly as beautiful as the mountaintop. Not nearly as glamorous as it would have been. You know, life's kind of like that. There's going to be struggles along the way. Your faith in the valley is either going to waver or it's going to stand strong. But it's your choice. I wonder if you could take a trip down memories lane right now and ask yourself, just what kind of Christian am I? Am I a faith wavering Christian, or am I a stand strong kind of Christian? Because I know that God is with me. And the Bible says right here, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know what? I got to the top of that mountain, and I just wanted to chill out for a while and just examine the beauty of God's creation. I wasn't thinking about how tired I was when I got up there. Honestly, I just sat down and I was like, man, this is beautiful. I didn't want anything else. And of course, then we had to go down the mountain, and that was another story in and of itself. We ran back into the bear. I'll get into that later. It gets a little funnier, but we're not going to tell all that right now. There were some things I wanted on the way down the mountain, I'll tell you. One of them was a gun that I did not have. So anyway, we'll come back to that later. But don't let your faith waver in the valley. Don't let your faith waver when times get hard. The Bible says the trying of your faith worketh patience. When things are going well, we are complete in Christ. Can I say this? When things are not going well, we are still complete in Christ. The Holy Spirit of God does not change with our circumstances. We are still sealed until the day of redemption. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And can I say this? When Jesus Christ sealed something, it's something that a seal is not, the seal's never going to be broken until the day of redemption. You say, when is that? Well, it's the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how long am I saved? Forever. How long am I saved? Forever. I'm sealed unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's going to come back, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then those of us are going to be called up in the air right after Him, and then we're going to be with Him forever. We're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years with Him, and listen, we're going to experience the great white throne judgment, which is the time, unfortunately, for those who were left behind here, and all those lost people that have died without Christ are going to stand before Him. We'll be on one side. Thank God I'm not going to be at that judgment of the doom and gloom of that. But look, let me tell you what will be there. Every lost soul will be there that you should be witnessing to when God told you to. And you'll be there watching that. And they may even look up and look at you and say, hey, you knew about this the whole time. You know, the Bible talks about the blood being on our hands. Shedding of blood. Listen, you are responsible. If God has told you to do something and the Holy Spirit has prompted you to tell someone about Him and you've refused, you're going to be held accountable for that. It's time we realize the importance of this thing. It's nothing to mess around with. The Bible, go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm so thankful I'm sealed until the day of redemption, aren't you? I'm thankful there's biblical evidence that I have eternal security. John 14 and verse 25. Can I say this? Because we are complete, we have a comforter, the Holy Ghost that gives us peace that this world cannot bring us. John 14 and verse 25. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hey, because we're complete in Christ, the Bible teaches that we have a comforter. We have a comforter because we got saved. We inherited him. His name is the Holy Ghost that gives us peace that this world cannot bring us. Can I say this, folks? I'm not complete in this world. The old song goes like this. This world is not my home. Sing it with me if you know it. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The second verse goes like this. Over in glory land, there is no dying there. The saints are shouting victory and singing everywhere. I hear the voice of them that I have heard before. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hey, you know what? Listen, we are not complete in this world. This world is not our final resting place. And I'm thankful for that. This world is a mess. This world is just a trial by fire. But you know, we have the ability to quench the fiery darts of hell through the Holy Ghost of God. I'm thankful that I have a Holy Ghost that gives me peace and comfort in knowing that this world really has nothing to offer me. You know, it would be good if Christians would grasp a hold of that fact. This world has nothing eternal to offer you. It's all carnal. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words endureth forever. Hey, this is not my home. This is my temporary home. I'm here to serve. My home is not here, but it is in heaven with Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm looking forward to that day. Psalm 138 and verse 8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Can I say this? Because I'm complete in Christ, one day I'll be perfect. I want to end with this song. You might know it and you might not. The song is called One Day I Will. How many know that song? Anybody know that song, One Day I Will? Well, it goes like this. I have never seen the face of my Savior, but serving Him has been such a thrill. I have never seen the gates of that city, but one day I will. One day I'm gonna walk on streets of pure gold, and they'll tell me the half that's never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones upon Zion's holy hill. And one day I will. Second verse goes like this. Since the day I first met him, he has been all to me, and my life with joy he has filled. And I'm longing for the day when my eyes shall behold him. And one day I will. One day I'm gonna walk on the streets of pure gold, and they'll tell me the half that's never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones upon Zion's holy hill. And one day I will. Folks, listen. We got a lot to look forward to. And we're going to make it one way or another. If you're saved, you're complete. It's time to start living like that. This world is not getting any easier. But here's the fun fact. This world is not our home. We have something so much greater to look forward to. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you so much, God, that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Lord, I'm just a stranger here. Lord, I'm looking forward to my eternal home. And Lord, one day we're going to get to see the Savior face to face, and I can't wait. One day we'll see our loved ones that we miss so dearly, and I can't wait. But Lord, while we're here, God, I just want to live right. I want to be true. I want to finish well. I want to stand strong in the eye of the enemy. Lord, I know we have bullseyes on our backs as Christians, but Lord, we're called to stand strong, and you've given us the ability to do so. Now, God, tonight, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bind the devil off of each and every family member here. Lord, bless every man, woman, boy, and girl that's under the sound of my voice. Bless our children in this church, our workers in this church, our mamas, our daddies, our grandmas, our grandpas. Lord, thank you for every single one of them. And Lord, may we honor and glorify you in everything we do this week. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming.